Pastor, it's a joy to be in this meeting. How much I appreciate the good service God sent us this morning. And my life has been helped and it has been challenged. And I haven't heard thus far anything that I disagree with. So I appreciate getting to go to a meeting where a man will open the scriptures and tell me what they say. Amen. That's what we need to get back to, and not necessarily what will work in the eyes of men, but what God said we ought to do and the way He said we ought to do it. And I have really enjoyed this meeting. I definitely regret that we can't stay to the end of it, but if we could, we would. But we just have an appointment we got to keep. And so I'd ask you to pray for us concerning that appointment, please. And then I want to thank the dear ladies who've labored, and I'm sure some men had something to do with that too. And we appreciate so much the wonderful way we have been fed. Man, I'm telling you, that was soul food tonight. Man, I enjoyed that. Amen. I said this to somebody. It wasn't one of the cooks, but I said this. I said, I come to Mississippi always looking for one thing, butter beans and peas. I could sit down with a pone of cornbread and a bowl of beans, a big bowl of beans, and just make a meal. And so somebody did it tonight and made some peas. Praise the Lord, I appreciate that. Everything, all of it was good. And I enjoyed perhaps too much of it, but I sure did enjoy what I ate. And it was all very, very good. And then the fellowship has just been tremendous too. How much I appreciate that. You know, there is a social aspect of Christianity that is missed by a lot of people. When you read the Old Testament, God's people gathered together. Amen. Not just in church, but from house to house. And so anyway, I'm so thankful that the pastor invited me and you men who have preached to me, and I've tried to take it in that sense, has been a great help to me. I really appreciate it. And furthermore, I want to thank you who have purchased my books. I don't claim to be a good author, but I do claim what's in those books to be right. And I appreciate God's goodness and grace in helping us to write those books these years. And I started out writing books for one reason, to raise money for missions. When I came to Tabernacle, I started writing some books. And what we would do, we would take the money out of our mission account and pay for the publication of them. Then everything that came in through the sale of the books went back into the missions. And so I was able to raise a few hundred dollars every year for our missions. And then it got to where I didn't pastor anymore, and I had to start paying to have them published and proofread. And so anyhow, and the cover design, and so I have to charge now. But let me say this to you. I've sold one book. I've sold two books. Got an order of three books, all the way up to 100 books I've sold at one time to one person. And every time, ever so often, Pastor, I calculate, because I tithe off of the top of what comes in. That's tithing. That's Bible tithing. And then I give to missions off of the top a certain percentage. And I, ever so often, I stop and check whether it's one book up to 100 books and check and see who gets the most money, me or the Lord, out of the books. And so far, every sale, the Lord has got the most. And that's the way I want it to be. I'm not writing books to make money. I want to glorify God and further His kingdom all that I can. Amen. So thank you so much for your purchasing of my books. And thank you, Pastor, for letting me put them out. And there was some strong man that carried them in for me. And, oh, it was your son, I think, or you, somebody. Okay. Now, somebody did. I can't remember now who it was. And somebody will be real kind to help me carry them, pack them up after a while, and put them in my car. I sure would appreciate it. I can do it, but the doctor said I don't want you lifting over 25 pounds. I can't even pick my wife up. Isn't that terrible? That's awful. Amen. That's awful. How many in here ever heard Dr. Don Green preach? Okay, what a preacher. We were talking one day on the phone, and Dr. Green told me, he said, these two fellows met up in a store and said, one of them said, boy, said, it's I hadn't seen you in a long time. He said, that's right. He said, you haven't. He said, in fact, said, I've gotten married since you saw me the last time. And the other fellow said, boy, said, that's good. He said, no, that's bad. Said, she's mean as a snake. And he said, well, boy, said, that is bad. He said, well, it's not all bad. Said, she's very rich. He said, well, that's good. And he said, no, that's bad. Said, she won't even give me a dime of it. And he said, boy, that is bad. Said, it's not all bad. Said, she built us a mansion to live in. He said, boy, that's good. He said, no, that's bad. Said, last night it burned to the ground. He said, boy, said, that is bad. He said, no, that's good. She was in it. So you'll have to check Dr. Green out and find out the source of that story, where it came from. Amen. Well, I'll tell you right now, we better laugh all we can. Because we're going to cry more than we're going to laugh. If we take the stand for our Lord that we ought to take, we're going to cry. And I thank the Lord for the song our brother just sang. Boy, how true that is. You know, it's amazing. A lot of times we just thank the Lord when things are going good and acknowledge His presence and goodness, and we hear all kinds of testimonies. Thank God I got a raise, and thank God I got this, and thank God I got that. But, you know, we never thank Him for a trial. I don't know if we're supposed to or not. I really don't. I'm not saying that we should. But I know one thing. We've never been through one that He was not with us. And I bless His name, and I thank Him to know Him. So we're going back to Hebrews chapter 2, and let's continue our looking at the importance of the great high priest. And we are looking here especially in this verse, verse 17, and lifting out a phrase and using it for our text. So let's read it, then we'll pray and we'll announce our text and continue our study. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. There's a lot in that verse, and we're just looking at a portion of it. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and graciousness to us throughout the day. Thank you for the good day you have given us in your house and the wonderful times of fellowship we've enjoyed with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so thankful to have this privilege to stand in this pulpit where your truths go out service after service. Thank you for every one of your preachers. who has preached in this meeting and those who yet are to preach. I pray that your power and grace and wisdom might rest upon each of them. And Lord, that our ears might be receptive to what you have to say unto us. And open our inward ears, our hearts, that we may discern what you are saying to us. Help us to be true and faithful to your word. And Lord, should there be one in our midst this evening that does not know Christ as a merciful and faithful high priest, I pray that they will come to the acknowledgement of him and open their hearts unto him this night. Should there be those who have strayed away, their hearts are cold and indifferent toward the things of the Lord, may this be the night they come back and, Lord, realize what they have left and your goodness and grace to them in so many ways. Now, Lord, help us. We stand in dire need of your touch upon our life. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. We ask our prayer. We offer our thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. We're looking at this matter of our faithful high priest. Presently, we're talking about the importance of him. We have learned already, we may say another word or two about that later, that it's impossible to approach Almighty God without the means of a high priest and a sacrifice. And our priest is not only the one who offered the sacrifice, but he is the sacrifice himself. So God has fixed it where that we have such a means that we can come boldly, that means with confidence, before the throne of grace. And I've prayed before and I've thanked God that we did not come have to come before a throne of the law. Amen. I would be in trouble, but I'm glad it's a throne of grace. Now, I want us to look at the seventh thing we point out. And so we read, and you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to give you the point. We read in chapter 9 and verse 11 that Jesus Christ is the high priest of good things to come. Now, here is what happens in his coming to the earth. To do the will of God. We read that in the 40th Psalm. We read it in the 10th chapter of our present text chapter, the book of Hebrews. And what he came to do was to restore the image that which God made man. Okay? We read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. Then he comes to the next verse, and it reads, so God created man in his own image. In the image of him, image of God, created he man. Male and female created he them. Now, this thing that's being spread abroad by a bunch of blasphemers in our country called transgenderism, that is a mock in the face of God. Amen. God never intended for man to marry a man. And even though our courts say it's all right, women to marry women, it's all right. God says it's all wrong. There's nothing right about it whatsoever. And I can't explain this, but in the 5th chapter of the book of Genesis, we read that male and female created he them, and he called their name Adam. Amen. Both of them. That's what the Bible says. It was Adam who named his wife Eve, which means the mother of all living. And this was given after God had promised, as we so wonderfully heard this morning, the one who was going to bruise the serpent's head, who caused the fivefold curse to fall upon man, woman, childbearing, and the serpent himself, and upon the earth. And let me pause here. But if you can, you be here in the morning services and hear Brother Saville talking about the fall of Satan, the battle of nations, and are you going to get to the rise of the Antichrist? Well, I hope so. I'm getting the tape. I want to hear this all the way through. What great teaching. I had a Bible teacher, amen, one of the wisest men, one of the best, if not the best Christian I ever knew, taught me, and many of the statements that Brother Saville has made, he made. I mean, word for word. And so, but anyway, I don't want to get into that. But you're missing a great blessing by not hearing this teaching that our brother is doing. And he talked about the fall of Satan, what did it happen? And everything bad that happens in the world is the result of sin. And the one who started all of that was Satan himself. Sin didn't start in the earth. It started in heaven. Amen. Not God didn't cause it. God didn't create it. But I don't know, and maybe he'll cover this, and I've often wondered if there has not always been the possibility of evil. I've wondered that, because God didn't create it in that sense. Amen. He didn't make it happen, even though he read the text and it is right that he creates evil. And so when things go against his word, as we read in the scripture, those things take place and those things happen. And God has to judge sin because he is holy. And things that are evil, he cannot allow into his presence. He just cannot. And so anyhow, I'm talking about as far as we as mankind are concerned. And so he made man in his own image. This image was ruined by the fall. And so then we read also in Genesis chapter 5 that Adam begat a son in his own image. Now, God created man in his image. And here's what my Bible teacher taught me, Dr. Gordon Carpenter, and I've often thought about it and feel about the same way he did. He said, I don't like boxing. He said, I'm going to tell you why. He said, man was made in the image of God, and another man doesn't have any right beating on him. So I'm just telling you what he said. Now, I wonder if he's not pretty close to right in that, don't you? Because we're taught all through the scripture to love one another. You can't love somebody trying to beat the dickens out of them. That's an impossibility, and you know that as well as I do. But this image that Adam had been created in the likeness of God, was ruined in the fall. And Jesus Christ came to restore that image, and he did, and he renewed it. In the person of Christ, we take on his image. All I had before I was born again was the image of my fallen father, Adam. My dad was a good man. Both my grandparents on either side were saved, all four of them. And I praise God for that. They were good men. I mean, when they told you something, there is one thing that my dad beat into me, boy. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, you do it, or you call them and let them know why you cannot. And I've done my best to stay with that. My dad was a good man. Honesty and integrity, he drilled into my heart. But Dad could not help me in that fallen Adam, that fallen image of Adam. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus has come and and done for me what nobody else can do for me. And now I no longer have the image, made in the image of Adam, even though I have that Adamic nature attached to me. I've taken on a new image. And that that image that Adam was made, like in the image and likeness of God, I now have in the person of Jesus Christ. He's restored that fallen image unto me. So he's a priest of good things to come. And something else he did when he went to the cross, of course, he redeemed our soul. We're all aware of that. But he redeemed more than that. He redeemed the earth that was under the curse. Am I not telling it right? And he redeemed our body. Amen. And we're going to get a new body one day. And we heard much about that in songs and testimony and sermons. And I praise God for that. We're going to get a new body. My precious wife has had at least 12 surgeries. We're hung up on 12 or 13. I can't remember the correct number. But I'm telling you right now, she's going to get a new body. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get a new body, and you're going to get a new body where no pain, no suffering is going to enter into that perfect body that we're going to have. I'll tell you what it's going to be like in just a minute. It will be realized at the resurrection or the translation, whichever happens when Jesus Christ comes back. And John tells us we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, we read in Ephesians chapter 1, we read this phrase, in Christ, or in him, or in whom. We read that at least 10 times in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now, we come to the book of Colossians, which they are considered sister epistles, because there's such similar reading in both of them. And so we come to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we're in Christ. Boy, I'm going somewhere now. All right. We're in Christ, and Christ is in us. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And so and in the second chapter of the book of Colossians, we read being in Christ, or in whom, or in him, speaking of Christ, of course, is found at least 10 times. Now, I hurriedly went through that. It could be more than that, but I know it's in there that time, that many times. And so the Bible says we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. And so that's going to be a wonderful time. Now, I want to say this. Christ arose in a glorified body. Now, we're talking about this image that has been... All this was necessary. And Brother Seton and I talked just a word or two about that last night. Amen. And he's in a glorified body. And let me say this. There's some people thinks that on resurrection, we're going to be a spirit floating around somewhere. Well, now you can believe what you want to believe. And then we're going to be like him. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, seated at the right hand of the Father on high is an embodied person. And that person is Christ the Son. Amen. God the Son. Isn't that right? Now, Christ died in a body. Did he not? Amen. Not in a spirit. No, sir. And he was buried in a body. Amen. He laid in the tomb in a body. And his spirit, I can't get into this. We're going to leave that to the doctor over here. But his spirit went down into Hades. A lot of time, I guess the Hellenized form of that word is Hades. I think the correct pronunciation is very close. It certainly is not Gehenna. Amen. That's the place of burning. Amen. And you remember...
Yeah, go ahead, brother. Amen.
You remember The Bible said, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, as our Bible is translated. And there's a lot of people that don't, if you disagree with me, I'm like the doc here. If you disagree with me, well, you're pleased to do that. I won't be mad at you, and I hope you're not mad at me. But I do not believe Jesus Christ went into the flames of hell. Now, there's people that believe that. I don't believe, and I'm not going to argue. I'm just telling you what I believe. I do not believe that he went in there. I'm going to tell you what he did. He suffered. He went down into Hades, the place of departed spirits, and he preached a sermon. Amen. He didn't evangelize. They're over there on the torment side. Amen. Of Abraham's... No, Abraham's bosom was the... Well, okay, Abraham's bosom's where Lazarus went. That was on the paradise side. But then there was a great gulf between the torment and the paradise side. Well, Jesus went in the paradise side and preached across the gulf into those who were already... He preached the word. And it is not the word for evangelization, but it's a word for a preach or announcement. You didn't believe, but here I am. I said I was coming, and hallelujah, one of these days, there's a lot of people don't believe he's coming back. But one of these days, he's going to split the heavens, and he's going to return, and here I am, just like I promised I would come. And he's going to gather his own unto himself. Boy, aren't you glad you're saved, and that image you had that God would have to send to hell, now he's going to receive into heaven in his presence. What a wonderful, wonderful thing salvation is. And it's been said many times in this meeting already. Let me say it one more time. If any sinner goes to hell, he cannot blame God. God has made provision for every man on the face of the earth to be saved. Not a select few, but all, if they will come, they can come. Boy, what a great job you did on that matter of election. And that statement, or defining election for us on Sunday, that was wonderful, and I believe that too. And you that weren't here, let me tell you what he said. He said, everybody's been called, but all won't come. That's what I believe. Amen. That's what I believe. And so anyhow, he was buried in a body. He lay in the tomb in a body. But then, thank God, he arose in a body. Amen. And then he ascended in a body. He's going to return in a body. Amen. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. As he went up, he's coming back. Just exactly like that. He didn't go up floating around like a spirit. Amen. He went up a man. Amen. The God-man. He ascended in heaven, and he's coming back to this earth. And he's going to sit. Let me just finish it out. He's going to sit on the throne of his father David. He's going to rule for 1,000 glorious years. And those who have been redeemed by him shall reign with him. What a day. What a day. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's coming. Now, listen to this. Tell you about he in a body. All right. He rose in a glorified body. And that's what we're going to have. Death couldn't touch him. That's why Jesus could go up and rub the leper. He had no fear. Because his body, as we heard this morning, was perfect. There was no way that leprosy could contract with that body. It just could not come. Amen. And then that's the kind of body you and I are going to have when the Lord comes back again. And if you remember, on the Isle of Patmos, John is there, and the Lord appears in him. Boy, I love to read that, don't you? And he said, I heard a voice behind me. And so I turned to see the voice, and I saw seven golden candlesticks. And he defines all. Oh boy, read. You know, the Bible says in Revelation, I believe it's verse 3, get a blessing just reading that book. Somebody says, I can't understand it. Well, it doesn't matter. Read it. God said he'd bless you if you just read it. Because it's the and by the way, it's not the revelation of St. John the Divine either. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a book. What a book. Amen. And John turned to see the voice of him that spake with him. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the golden candlesticks, one like to the Son of Man, girt about the paps with a girdle. Had a robe on down to the feet. And he goes on to describe him. Eyes as a flame of fire. Somebody said, what's Jesus? Oh, let me tell you this. When I first went to the tabernacle as a pastor, there was a lady there called Melton. And she's the oldest church member. And she always wanted me to come. If I went away for a revival, I want you to come tell me what happened. She got to where she couldn't come to church. And I said, okay, Miss Melton, I will come. And so her granddaughter, she outlived her children. And so she was living with one of her granddaughters. And so her granddaughter called me and said, Miss Melton's said, grandma's in the hospital. And so I took off to the hospital to see her. And so I saw her in this old saint who walked with God. I mean, I don't know how many times I went up there to cheer me up, and I was the one cheered. I mean, just there was something about her, just being around her, that you could just about sense it rubbing off on you. I don't know how else to explain it. You just left in a different air than you went. And we talked a little while, and she said, I don't know why he leaves me here. I said, well, I don't either, Miss Melton, but I said, if this will be a help, you pray for me, don't you? She said, oh, yes. I said, maybe he's leaving you here just to pray for me. I don't know, and pray for other people. But he is. And she said, oh, preacher said, I got to tell you what I saw last night. I said, all right, Miss Melton, you tell me. And she said, Jesus came last night and stood at the foot of my bed. And I said, really? He said, yes, he did. And said he took me through the most beautiful garden I've ever been in my life. And I said, well, Miss Mel, and said, then what happened? I said, well, he brought me back and said he went away. And, you know, and I thought, this woman has lived for God, and the touch of God is all over her. I can't argue with this, what she said. And so I said, well, Miss Melton, I said, tell me, what did he look like? She said, oh, I never got to see his face. And then I said, well, Miss Melton, what? How do you know it was Jesus? That's a dumb question. You know, I've never seen him either. And how did you know it was Jesus? She said, oh, I know it was him. I'll never forget that grin went all over that sick lady's face. And I don't know what he looks like either. I've heard a lot of things and read a lot of things and everything, but one day I will know. I will see him. Isn't that wonderful? What awaits the child of God? That we'll get to see him one of these days. And here's his body. The Bible said that the women held him by his feet. Is that what it said? The Bible says that Mary talked with him. I don't know how to say this. But here's Peter. If you read all the accounts, John, they go to the tomb. John's the youngest, and he outruns Peter. And he stops at the door of the tomb, and Peter goes on in, looks around, and both of them leave. Some women just come and they've left. But one remained. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. She's still standing there. And she hears somebody. And she's supposing him to be the gardener. Said, tell me where you've laid him. And, you know, here she stands. Her heart is broken. She's just broken to pieces, no doubt. And she loved the Lord so much, she's the last one there. And you know what? This is something. I've heard so many derogatory marks made about women from the pulpit. That's ridiculous. The first person Jesus spoke to after his resurrection was a woman. Don't you forget that. And so this woman turned around, and Jesus said one word. Mary, that's all he said. And she said, Rabboni, my master. What she was saying is, you've put my whole world back together again. And you know, there's been so many people who've lived in such a way that their world is just torn apart. If Jesus put Mary's world back together, he can put your world back together. And I'm glad. You know, there's a song not long ago. Well, I guess now it's been a long time ago. Pick up the pieces. Amen. Broken pieces. Take them to the Lord. Amen. The Lord is still in the fixing business. He's still in the putting back together what we, by our foolishness, has torn apart. I remember that night in Titusville, Florida, when my wife was saved. The preacher had come by and he was talking to her. And I was saved, but you wouldn't have known it. I'm so ashamed. And I remember the preacher said, James said, let's get down here and pray for Sandra. I said, pray for Sandra? Myself? I said, pray for Sandra. I need to pray for me. So I got on my face, and the preacher was praying for her, talking to her, and she gave her heart to Christ, and she was saved. And I was still there praying. I said, God, what a mess I've made out of my life. And boy, I'm telling you, it's a shame that we have to go so far and make a mess out of things. Now, listen, this is well over 60 years ago. And I made such a mess. And I said, Lord, if there's anything about my life worth having, and I'm telling you the truth, ladies and gentlemen, I'd made such a mess out of it. If he'd have said, I don't want it, you've just ruined it, I couldn't have said a word. Amen. I just had to go on like I was. But I'm telling you what he did. He took it. I can't tell you, I felt a bit better that night. But boy, the next morning when I was driving to work, I drove by Melbourne Airport every morning going to work, and all those planes leaving hadn't meant one thing to me. But I'm going to tell you, that morning it looked like silver was coming out of the back of them things. I can't explain. The new, you know that song, I'm in a brand new world. Amen, that was the truth. God can put back together what we mess up. And when he puts it back together, it'll be put together right. So anyway, he put Mary's world back together. The disciples saw him. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that resurrection chapter, that he was seen of above 500 at one time. So here he is, all right, and the disciples ate with him after he had raised from the dead. Paul saw his light. Who art thou, Lord? Amen. I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And you know, can I just pull off here and make a statement? You preachers, please, and I know I don't have to talk to these fellows who's been in it a while, but stay away from those people who are pushing the Lordship of Christ around. You just stay away from them. Amen. Paul, Jesus answered Paul. He said, I am Jesus. whom thou persecutest. Yes. And Paul said, Lord. Yes. He didn't say Jesus. No. He said, Lord. Amen. Amen. And that poor woman that was caught in that act of adultery, and Jesus said what he said to that crowd who had brought her and began to write in the sand, let him that is without sin first cast a stone at her. And they began to leave one by one. And Jesus looked around and he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Doth no man condemn thee? And she said, no man, Lord. No man, Lord. Now I'm telling you, if you know who he is, you don't have any problem acknowledging him as Lord. And all of this thing that they came out with not a few years back, you remember, preacher, a few years back, you know, this pushing the Lordship of Christ around. If you make Jesus, you have to make Jesus Lord of your life in order to be saved and all of these things. Let me tell you something. We don't make him Lord. God made him Lord. In fact, he was Lord before he was Jesus. Exactly right. Well, I've gotten plumb off of my text. But anyway, Paul saw his light. John felt his hand. He laid his right hand upon me. Now what he said? Fear not. I'm he that liveth. Was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. We pray in his name. And listen. If you'll turn with me just a minute to the 7th chapter, I've got to quit. If you'll turn with me to the 7th chapter, and I want to read this verse to you, and then maybe say just two or three more things, and I'll be done. But the 7th chapter of Hebrews, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now here's another verse that Brother Don Savile pointed out the other morning. Or he didn't point this verse out, but he made a statement. Oh, it was last night when you preached, wasn't it? Wasn't it, preacher? But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Okay. And he made a statement about that verse, and I told him after he had finished preaching. I said, I've been hearing preachers preach for over 50 years, and you're the only preacher I ever heard make that statement. That's to the saved. And it is. I learned that when I taught through the book of Romans. Now here's another verse, and I'm exactly like him. And my wife's heard me say this many times. If you can use a verse of scripture to win somebody to Christ, I'm not gonna fuss about that. But this verse of scripture right here, Hebrews 7:25, is to the saved. It is not to the lost. Now watch it here. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. So even though this particular thing may not be in this verse, okay, but I said something about it earlier. When we come to God, I'm saved right now. I'm as saved as I can be. There's no way inward man, can be saved any more than he's saved. But yet, I'm being saved. And one day, I'm going to be all the way saved. Because I'm going to get a body that's going to be like this inward man that's saved now. No corruption, sealed, amen, by the Holy Ghost. We're going to get a new body. And so he's able to save them to the uttermost. That means as far, amen, as time lasts, exists, he's able to save us and to keep us. Why? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen. I failed. You failed. Sure we do. I failed probably more than anybody in here. Amen. But and we got the devil, and you read that. The accuser of the brother. Amen. He that's what he does. He's accusing you. You say a wrong word. You get in the wrong attitude. You dwell too long on a wrong thought that Satan's put in your mind, and Satan's trying to beat you over the head and convince you you don't belong to God because of this, what you've done. And so then he goes to God and tells on you after he has been the main culprit in getting us to do what we've done. He goes to God and accuses God of us, or accuses us to God what we have done that is wrong. But aren't you glad there's somebody else up there? Amen, Brother Jamie. It's just not Satan occupying the room where God is. Amen. The Son's in there. Hallelujah. And all he has to say, I took care of that at Calvary. Amen. That's already been care. And oh boy, I let me just put this up and I'll have to quit. But anyhow, a woman said to me one time, she said, preacher said, I can understand. I was preaching on eternal security. She said, I can understand how God could save me from my past sins and even could save me from my present sins because I'm alive and I can ask him. But she said, how can he save me from my future sins? So I borrowed a statement from Billy Mitchell. And Billy Mitchell said, all our sins were future. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't have any problem taking care of it. Amen. I'm not going to heaven because I do certain things and do not do certain things. I'm going to heaven because somebody who met the qualifications that God required out of you and me to go to heaven, and he fulfilled those to the very top, and I'm dependent on what he did. He's my substitute. He's our sacrifice, is he not? Amen. He is. He is. Well, I'm going to quit. I done blowed my outline.